good to see all y'all back. It has been a cold day. I'm telling you, I'm about to freeze to death. I've been in Florida too long, I guess. I don't know. But it is cold outside. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Be in much prayer about Scripture Day coming up this coming week. And ask the Lord what He'd have you to do for us. We're taking up the offering next Sunday, that we might be able to support the praying ministry as a church. It is good to do so since the Lord has given it to us as a ministry. So as a church, we ought to support it best we can. And the only way that's going to happen is by prayer. So please seek the face of the Lord and ask Him, Lord, what can I give that will be in accordance to Your will? Not what I want to give, but Lord, what would You have me to give? So that we can take up a good offering and glorify God. So next Sunday, Brother Sorensen's going to be with us. And he'll be preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night. And the offering all day, unless it's marked tithes or missions, will go to the print shop. And so let's seek God's face. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 22, Brother Jimmy is right. We had a good turnout at the nursing home. We had a good turnout all day today. I see visitors here tonight. So if you're visiting with us this evening, thank you so much for being with us. We got a good turnout this evening. Hope you enjoy yourself here in the house of the Lord. What I'm going to talk to you about tonight, just for a little while, not long. It's 5 till. Five till, I think, seven. Just a little bit about our faith. And I'm going to try to find some verses in the Bible that will give us courage to share our faith. Today, this morning, there was, some of you probably met John. John sits sometimes with Brother Ethan across that row over there. He's a direct result from going out door to door. Brother Josh, I don't know if you remember visiting with John. It was the night we went over there. We found Brother Bill was with me, Brother John, Josh, and Brother Jim, and we found apartments that I've been here 10 years, never knew they were even there. When you pass them, they just look like homes, to be honest with you, from the road. I went in there, and lo and behold, there was John. Some of you ladies in the Sunday school class, there was a new lady that was here this morning, picked her up on the bus. Miss Leha, is that right, Brother Leha? And she's a direct result of our outreach by mail. See, God uses mighty wonderful things. Even the U.S. Post Office, praise God, Brother Chris, delivered the postcard over to her house, and she just moved in here from Washington, D.C., got the postcard in hand, called the church office last Thursday night. I was able to go by with some of the men, and we visited with her, and lo and behold, she rode the church bus. The church didn't have a car. So, you know, the church bus is not only for kids. Praise God for our kids that ride. Well, I tell you, Wednesday night, wow, man, how many we've been having on there on Wednesday night? 50? I'm praying. But if we was at 50, I think the FOD, FDT, what is it? Florida Department of Transportation? Who is it? FDOT would be after my CDL. And I would be like, IDK, what you're talking about. Isn't IDK, I don't know. LOL. So, y'all didn't think I was in the know. But, Manny, I think we've been having about 20, haven't we, on Wednesday night, at minimum, at least. Is that right, Jordan? About 20 on Wednesday night. Kids talking about, of course, Miss Martha and Miss Vivian ride with us sometimes, but on Sunday morning we have two senior citizen ladies that ride because of the direct outreach of our bus ministry. So, I want to encourage you tonight. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 9:22. I believe, I just personally believe this, that all Christians know that we ought to share our faith. I personally believe that. Well, how do you know that? Because of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Don't turn there. But when I say all Christians, I mean born again people. The Bible says, as a Christian in Acts 1:8, you look there later, mark it down, write it down, it says, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, when did that happen? When you got born again. It says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And so I personally believe, because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, we have a divine urge to tell people about this God that changed our lives so much through His Son, Jesus Christ. I do. So I want to encourage you that, to do so. 1 Corinthians 9:22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Wow. So I want to encourage you tonight. There's this thing that's called the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Do you understand that this was the last commandment given to us by our risen Savior? He had risen, he's up on that mount, and he tells us in Matthew chapter number 28, verses 18 through 20, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we're going all the world. And at the end of there, he says, lo, I am with you always. So later on down the road, Paul was able by the Holy Spirit of God to write Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened. Why? Because I think he had read Matthew 28. I think he looked over in the scriptures and read it. I don't believe it was quite penned yet. But I think he heard Matthew preach it. I believe he spent some time with the apostles and they said, listen, the Lord said on the mount. We're supposed to go to all the world, teaching them about Jesus. When they get saved, we're to baptize them. When they get baptized, we're to teach and train them to observe all things and be obedient. Not just to be hearers only, but to be doers of the Word of God. So it's not the great omission, it's the great commission. And so I believe that God would have us. Well, what's the problem? Here's the problem, Brother Doug. Douglas, is this fear. I believe with all my heart, fear oftentimes keeps us from telling others about Christ. I don't believe we're ashamed of the gospel because the power thereof is salvation. I believe that it's fear. They're going to reject me. They're going to reject the message. They're going to think I'm some wacko. We live in 19 now. We live in 2019. And everybody in America knows about Jesus. That is unfortunately not true, dear friend. Maybe years ago, the great majority knew about this man Jesus. And they understood that he was the Son of God. They may have not trusted him as their personal Savior, but there was a knowledge about it. But today, you can talk to folks all the time, and Jesus is a good person. Jesus was, a good prophet. Jesus was became a God. Jesus this, Jesus that. But the biblical Jesus, I believe it's fear. I honestly believe that fear is what? And the greatest lack that I see as the pastor of our church, and I've talked to other pastors, I believe the greatest lack that we're lacking in our churches today is that of personal evangelism. I really do. I believe we have men and women of prayer. We met over here a while ago. Men and I were talking about construction. And we came in, and man, the ladies was already over there. Just stay, Brother Jim. Brother Jim had to come break them up. They were just going to sit there content and pray. Us men would have been waiting for, hey, what's going on, Pastor? Look, oh, my head's been bowed 7 minutes. Come on now. Prayer. You know, how can we conquer this? It is paralyzing. The thing about being paralyzed, dear friend, if a person's truly paralyzed, bless their heart, they're laid there, they begin to lose muscle mass, don't they? They begin to get bed sores. They begin to wane. And mentally, many of them have no desire to even go forward. Some of them overcome it, and they're great testimonies, but the majority. Well, when a church is paralyzed because of fear and outreach, and individual Christians paralyzed because of fear and outreach, there's no exercise. And what happens? We begin to lose that spiritual faith, that muscle mass and memory, that divine nature that has been given to us by the Holy Spirit of God living in us, and the desire to lift up Jesus Christ. And we begin, and before we know it, we just don't. Weak. Mentally, we. And I've told X amount of people, whatever it is, your factor, I don't know. You factor, whatever. I've told this one. I've told them, no response. I've shared my faith. I've jumped out of my... And nobody is listening. Before long, we get to thinking it's really not that important. So therefore, we don't. We simply do not. But I think there's three things we can see in this portion of Scripture that will help us. The first thing I think we need to understand is that we got and must have compassion. I think we're lacking that. I think we simply forget where we were headed before somebody shared Jesus with us. And that lack of muscle memory and exercise and, you know, and discernment of who Christ is, who I am in Christ, and the life I now live in this flesh by the faith of the Son of God, I begin to do it. Paul says, listen, I am made all things to all men. That's true compassion. In other words, I'm putting myself in their shoes. And if I, who know Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, was in their shoes and they do not know Christ as personal Lord and Savior, I, therefore, would be headed to a devil's hell. And so, I become all things. Whatever way, whatever fashion that would be, I become all things to all men. Now, Saul, listen. Boy, that proud Pharisee, Saul. He wouldn't have never spoke these words, would he? You need to keep the law. Remember when Paul was a Pharisee? It wouldn't have been, I will become all. You remember the other story in the New Testament where the Pharisees were standing around? There was that old sinner knelt down, wouldn't even lift up his head. The Pharisee said, I thank God I'm not as he. It's just the opposite of what Paul's saying. I guarantee you, Paul had that attitude when he was Saul the Pharisee. So he would have never said, what happened? I'll tell you, new life in Christ gives you a new vision. It lets you see people that are hurt, doing their own thing, alienated against Christ and against God, enemies of the cross. And we remember that such were some of us. And so we have that compassion because it drives us. Paul, a very highly religious man, he said, concerning the law, I'm blameless. Very religious. Religion didn't bring compassion, did it? He became a prosecutor And in his religion, he was a prosecutor, but in Christ, he became a preacher of the gospel. Quite the opposite. That's what Jesus does for us. I mean, Saul, he hated and tried to destroy. What was the words? This is what it said. And Saul wreaked havoc. Y'all seen that commercial of the Allstate guy? What's his name?
Mayhem.
Mayhem. That's his nickname. Mayhem. Paul wreaked mayhem in the lives of Christians before he knew Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. He said, I wreak havoc, breathing out, slaughtering, imprisonment, and dragging people back with this letter. But on the road to Damascus, when he met Jesus, when he was laid there on that bed, and the scales was removed, and there stood Ananias above him. What compassion. What compassion. What overwhelming. This convert of Christ there, who was a prosecutor and a destructor, a wreaked havoc, now he says, I'll become all things to all men. You remember the example I gave the other a couple of weeks ago about when Paul and Silas was in jail. He was there wrongfully. Had no reason to be put there, but he was put there anyway and certainly treated wrongly. They prayed. They sought the face of God. The jailhouse rocked. All the prisoners were set free. The jailer said, I'm about to kill myself. Oh no, I'm in trouble. And Paul said, do thyself. What was that? Compassion. Compassion. I just have to tell you, Jesus certainly our supreme example of compassion. Without a doubt, Jesus had compassion. Many times throughout the Word of God, if you read in the life of Christ and going through the Gospels, you'll notice there it says, and when he lifted up his eyes and he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Compassion. Therefore, I can tell you this, if you have no compassion at all in your life, you are not going to share Christ with no one. Because you have no drive. You have no, there's nothing inside of you that makes you and desires for you and moves you to become all things to all people. But I'm telling you, when you begin to weigh it out and you begin to look at it and begin to look at the care, like the psalmist said, I looked on the left hand, I looked on the right, there was none that cared for my soul. Oh, dear friend, when you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and you begin to reckon in your mind and you begin to meditate upon what took place in your life, compassion overwhelms you. It begins to move inside of you and so much that it's like a fire. An old prophet said, I ain't going to preach no more. I ain't going to preach. And like a fire inside of him. When that compassion's there, when you look out and you see that broken home, you see that broken child, that broken mom, that broken dad, and they know not Christ, it just compassion begins to move you. Wow, Pastor, I felt that. That was good. I love compassion. Nothing in there. I wish that was point number one and I could pray and we could get over. There's more beyond. Compassion. The second thing I would say to you that you've got to have some communication. Compassion is going to bring it about. Compassion is going to move you to talk. Compassion is going to drive you. At some point, it's going to listen. At some point, witnessing to somebody else requires words. It's words. I know you ladies speak a million words a minute. And we men have about a 9-word vocabulary. But I'm telling you, if you're going to be moved with compassion for somebody's soul and where they're headed, where they're going to spend eternity, eventually there's going to be some communication, some words must come out of your life. And therefore, that's why I stand against lifestyle evangelism. It's needed. You need a good testimony. You need to live holy and righteous. You need to live different. But different, that ain't enough. It just simply ain't enough. Words have to come out of your mouth and tell them about this man called Jesus. Well, what do you mean? Well, go back over to John. Y'all remember we looked at the lady at the well? Look over at John. John chapter 4. There they are. Jesus sitting around talking to the lady at the well. Done figured out she's got had 5 husbands living with one man. Not her husband. And now as they're spending time together, He said, I must needs go. I have to go. What drove him? Compassion drove him. Look in John chapter 4 and look in verse number 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Wait a minute, he was brought there. He had compassion. He knew she was coming. But he opened his mouth and he said what? Jesus said to her, give me to drink. Communication. There is no greater lifestyle evangelist than Jesus Christ, dear friend. None. Absolutely none. What an example. No guile, no bitterness, a man without sin. Yet he opened his mouth. Oh, here, let's go to another one. Go to Acts chapter 8. Here's a good one. Acts chapter 8. And look at verse number 30. So here you go. You have Philip. Philip's been preaching a great revival. People have been getting saved. Trust in the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior. And the Spirit catches him up, moves him along the way, and brings him over to a place where there's one traveling, an Ethiopian eunuch. Of course, he probably had a driver, maybe an entourage, but it was a far cry from a multitude. And now he runs up beside him, and there, and listen to what Philip says. Ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And see. Oh, wait a minute. Communication. And Philip said, understandest thou what thou readest? Compassion is good, dear friend. Being moved that somebody needs Jesus is a wonderful thing. But there has to be some communication. You've got to share. You know what you read on here? You read on, you know what happened? Philip began where he was reading and began to preach unto him Jesus. Over in John 4, where we left off and moved over real quick, because we spent a whole sermon on that lady not too long ago, and I didn't want these men getting jealous, so I had to move to a man's example. But back over there, givest thou me to drink, you know where it ended up? With Jesus being the living water. Communication. So compassion, yes, I'll become all things to all men. What else did he say in 1 Corinthians 9:22? He says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men. What? By all means. He's got to communicate, guys. We got to talk. We got to open our mouth. We got to spend some time and reach them with the gospel. And I don't care how you do it. I gave you a couple examples. Use tracts. Leave them on the gas tank. In the gas handle up there where they pay in the credit card hole. At the urinal men. Put them up on top there while they're there. Do whatever you can. But there has to be some communication of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It does work. You have to share, reach out to people. You write up, how many of you got bills that you still mail a thing, or y'all do it all by PayPal, bill pay, and what all? Drop a track in there. Lord knows, somebody, that thing might go over to Utah in Salt Lake City, and somebody opens it up over there, and I'm a Mormon, I ain't reading this. Lay it on their desk, and the Holy Spirit will be in it. What does this say? Let me get my Bible and say it. Because if you get to the Bible will bring conviction. The Holy Spirit of God can work. Send it. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing, you folks that still pay bills that way instead of electronically, that when you get to heaven, there you are standing before the Lord, and the Lord says, hey, come over here, Sarah. Not you, Sarah. Not Sarah Smith. She's back there. Okay. Come over here, Judy. Come over here, Micah. Come over here. Tell them what happened. Well, I was sitting at my desk, I was working, I was all tired, mad at work. You know, computers locked up, then I opened up this, and there was a gospel tract. And I laid that thing aside, and later on at my lunch break, I read it, and I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. That'd be a wonderful thing. But you know, this is what our mind says. You're wasting them tracks. Nobody's even going to get it. True? Possibly. Possibly not. Possibly not. Possibly that somebody's going to take it and read it. Miss Lehi's here because we sent one through the mail system. Works. There's a young lady here tonight. Sent me an email this week, and she's here tonight because my wife sent her 3 letters. She's here tonight. Right now. It works, dear friend. Just got to do it. I said, Pastor, I can't go out. My ankles, my knees, my back, my hips. Ain't nothing wrong with your liquor. They make self-adhesive stamps now. Bang! Yeah. That's an amazing thing. They even got them now. You can sniff them up there and they smell like different flavors. Yeah, they do. My wife brought some and says, honey, you don't smell these stamps? I said, what for? They're going to be... Ooh, strawberry. Kiwi. And in the world are the postal people thinking? They're fixing to raise it a nickel here next year, next week, I think. Isn't that right, Brother Chris? Yeah, we're getting a nickel increase on our stamps.
I think so.
Yeah, I know so. I heard it on the news, and everything on the news is true. Everything on the news is true. But it is, isn't it? People saying it. So if you say it enough, it's got to be true, right? So I'm thinking, do away with the sin flavor and give me a nickel decrease. How about that? Listen, you used to go up there and you could get a stamp. I don't know if it was a flag or whatever. Now you can go up there, you can get Mickey Mouse, you can get Christmas trees, you can get ribbons, you can get purple hearts on them. You get, oh, praise God for it, I'm glad for it. But all that different dyes and different printing, that costs money. But what I'm saying is, you can use the postal system. Though you don't like it, though you don't want to sniff them stamps, you have no excuse. They've made them self-adhesive. They even got envelopes. This is for archaic, guys. You don't have to lick the envelopes no more. They got a little sticky tab. Pull it up, put it on there, put that gospel track in there, and send it off. Well, who would I send it to? Well, praise God. Thank you for asking. I thought you would never ask. Man! Come to my wife, she keeps a running list of every visitor that's ever been here. She'll give you a list of those visitors. Pastor, will I have to use my own stamps? We'll give you stamps. Long as you promise to use them for tracts and letters going to people. Don't pay your bills with them. We'll even get you some stamps. And you can sit right in the comfort of your home, have a name right before you, and begin to pray. Say, God, I know I'm not able or capable. My body won't allow me to go to the door. Lord, would you please take this track? Take this little handwritten note. Let me put it in there. And Lord, let me send it to this person. Will you please allow the Holy Spirit of God to move their heart? That they might visit. They might read that tract, get saved, may never visit. Who knows? But I'm telling you, communication has to be. Alright? About done, right? Compassion. Compassion moves us to talk. What else? Confidence. I think this is the biggest problem. I think some of us at the point, we don't believe that Jesus is able, capable to save anymore. So therefore, why are we trying? Let's read it again. 1 Corinthians 9, 22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save everybody I come in contact with. No. Save some. It is my job just to plant, my job just to water, that I might save some. Listen, Paul expected fruit for his labor on behalf of the Lord. Because he understood something. I'm going to plant, I'm going to water, and God's going to bring the increase. We can have confidence, dear friend, that God is going to bring about change in people's lives as we present Christ to them. Look at Romans chapter 8. Real quick. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We're almost done. We'll get you into choir. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. First off, we know God's not willing that any should perish. That's what the Bible says. He's not willing that any should perish. Listen to what it says. Romans 8, 28. Y'all, one of y'all probably know this verse, has hit it in your heart, memorized it. Here's what it says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We've been given the Great Commission. We've been told to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. We know this is the will of God. So, by you being involved and reaching out and sharing your faith by whatever means possible, you know, whether it be text, email, blogging, mailing, sending, postcards, opening up your mouth and talking personally to people, by whatever means, listen, it's the will of God that people get saved. So that fits perfectly in Romans chapter 8, verse number 20. All things work together for good. You say, well, I just don't know. Well, it's not for us to know the end. It's for us to be obedient now. I'm going to be honest with you. If we all knew what tomorrow really holds, we might give up today. Listen, tomorrow will handle itself. And there's enough trouble for tomorrow that we don't have to borrow it tomorrow and bring it in today. We just need to be busy with the things of the Lord right now. So we got to expect God's going to do something. This is why we do. This is why we have what we have. This is why we have the men's prayer breakfast. That they're not over there cooking biscuits and eggs and bacon just so that maybe somebody's going to come around here and eat. No, they cook expecting men to come. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to come and we're going to pray. We got a lot to pray about too, church. Especially the men. I mean, we do. What a good thing to start this Sunday morning. 8 o'clock. Not this Sunday morning. This Saturday morning. 8 o'clock. Them men will be over there cooking about 6 o'clock to 5. Sometimes I come up here and they already started at 5 o'clock. I'm like, man, alive. Did somebody change it to the, but they're just there getting ready. They're making preparations for you to eat. We have to make preparations for people to accept Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. We are the one planting and watering. Planting and watering. Planting and watering. Water, plant. Water, plant. God brings the increase. Quite simple, but truth. Here's the summary. It consists of these three words: compassion, communication, confidence. Church, let me encourage you. If we want to continue seeing an increase in our Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night crowds, we have to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Transfer of membership from one church to the other is not going to maintain a church. There has to be new growth by outreach. By outreach. It has to be. Thank God for new transfers. I'm not knocking that. We need it. Thank the Lord. If God moves you to this area, you should get involved in a local church and be found faithful in there. But I'm going to tell you something different. We need new fruit for our labor. We got to have it. So I'm encouraging. Share your faith. It still works. It still works. People need the Lord. Father, we do love you. We thank you, Lord, for a wonderful day that we've had in the house of God. Lord, I pray as the choir comes and they spend time practicing here in just a moment, I pray, God, that you would please move upon their heart and let them understand that their practice and their preparation gets the people ready for the message of God on Sunday morning. God, I pray they put forth great effort. Lord, help us to be found faithful, to be witnesses for you. We do need you. We need your help. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Jim, come on and lead us in the song of invitation, and we'll close out. Maybe you just need to come make a deal with God. God, I'm going to be found faithful at this thing called sharing my faith.